feel reading this message, I feel like this word is very sober. You know, in order to receive this crown of righteousness, right, in His second coming, you know that the Christ, when He comes the second time, He's not coming as the King of Grace. He's actually coming as the righteous judge, right? He will judge the believers in His second coming. So whether we will receive the kingdom reward or, as some say, we're going through the 1,000 years of, you know, makeup class, it really depends on our, you know, practice today, right, in this life. And I was touched in this message. There are actually two words. One is love, and the other one is righteousness. So it has very much to do with what we love. Actually, in Roman numeral here, it mentioned about this prophetic picture, right, presented in the 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul here reminds his co-worker, Timothy, right? He said, I just read these verses. But know this, that in the last days, difficult time will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, with self-control, savage, not lovers of good, traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an outward form of godliness, though denying its power, from these also turn away. So this is, you know, all these was speaking, not just speaking about the unbelievers, right? This is actually talking about the believers, because they have an outward form of godliness, but denying its power. I feel like this is really reminding, what do we actually love? Are we lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, or are we lovers of God? Sometimes we may easily say, oh Lord, I love you. But if we put in front of the other things, can we say we love the Lord more than others? Right? Just as the Lord was asking Peter when he was taking the brothers going on a fishing trip, right? He said, the Lord asking him, of course we know, right? The three times. The Lord asking him, do you love me more than these? I feel like this needs to be the question that the Lord, you know, asking us every day, right? When we are loving something that's outside of the Lord, right? When, you know, actually your brother knee has a hang, right? You know, if I'm thinking about anything else, Lord, you know, really remind me. So I really feel like we, you know, need to be the lover of God. We need to be crazy lovers of God. And then the second is the righteousness. The righteousness. We praise the Lord. You know, we, every Lord's Day, we come here, we remember the Lord has becoming our objective righteousness. Amen. Right? We have received Him to be our objective righteousness, so we have the right to come to the table to enjoy all He is, all He has ordained for us. But there is a second robe that we need to has a stitch, right? The embroidery, whatever, you know. That is the subjective righteousness. We really need to live out this one in our daily living. We may like to say we, you know, the love, but the second righteousness, a lot of times we cannot even mention, because whenever we mention righteousness, we just feel like, oh Lord, I'm so short. Lord, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But we need to be reminded by these prophetic words. Oh, being the lovers of God, and we live out this righteousness in every little things in our daily life, right? So that is why, you know, there are so many things, so many cases in the New Testament speaking about living out this righteousness. Our relationship with our spouse, right? With our brothers and sisters. All of this really, a lot of time, it just reveals, exposes that we are not righteous. Oh Lord. Oh, be our subjective righteousness, that we can really live it out, that we will not, you know, be the ones that shy away when the Lord comes back the second time. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So yeah, I also try to just to share some practical matters of this. So the I want to share about this righteousness, right? And also share about this kingdom. So I just want to follow up the brother's example. Like, you know, Christian life is a kind of race. And then, you know, the Olympics right now, right, you know, 400 meter, you know, that, you know, run, right? But the Christian faith, the running is not only a single runner, right? You watch the 400 meter relay, right? It's four people. So the final crown actually give it to a team, four. If one of them is weak, and then, you know, but the other member can catch up. But the whole thing is still one team, right? So that's kind of the, it's a very important we do it in a righteousness. In a detail, so you have to work together. You remember, not easy, because each member is not a perfect. You know, whether it's a team group or it's a family member, each member is not perfect. So you have to find a way before the Lord to work together. That's also part of your Christian faith, race. It's very important. You know, like in a team, right? It's a relay or it's a sports team. You have to know the other players, you know, strong or short points, so can work together to achieve, right? And the other thing I want to be practical is, because you know a lot of things stated here is a positive thing, but we have to use it wisely. Don't make it a burden to us. Like, for example, you know, our church has, we have a lot of serving, a lot of activities. So nobody can do all of them. So don't put them like as a merit to us, and then we are going to be measured down. But the God gave us a portion. So I still remember in the whole Bible, I still, one thing really impressed me is that Lord Jesus once said one thing. Just said one thing, you cannot take it away. She got the best one. The one thing, you cannot take it away. So I asked wrong. Do you remember in the whole Bible, where does the Lord says that? You know, she got the best portion, the one thing you should not take it away. The quiet, quality time before the Lord. That's the one thing we cannot take it away. Let us say in front of you, there's the three things, the four things, you know, all waiting for you to do, and you feel like you cannot do it. You're not capable to do all of them. Then remember, only one thing you should choose. Quiet, quality time before the Lord, and let the Spirit guide you. Then pick up the remaining thing to do. So I just give one point, then I'll finish. So, the Olympic race is good. But do you want to see a runner? He run to the end, he exhausted to death. That's not a glory either. Our Christian faith is the Lord give us spirit. With the spirit, we catch the crown. Even to the end point, we are still full of vigor. That's the crown of life. May the Lord be with us. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Receiving the kingdom reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. Right now we're having a foretaste of what the kingdom is. Right? I don't know about you, but I feel I'm in the kingdom right now. come in the kingdom with all of you. He's tasting the Lord, that is good. Now, but he says, even the loving the Lord's appearing and loving the Lord himself are inseparable. Many love the Lord, but really not many love the Lord's appearing. In Christianity, in the world, that's what is happening. I love the Lord, right, but they don't believe in the Lord's coming. Right? But I ask many, do you believe the Lord's coming back? So I don't know about that, but I love the Lord. But this is inseparable. And the brother was sharing an example of running a race and receive the reward of the winner, right? And a brother was sharing yesterday that many times we run the race. You see, right now, like he says, we're having the Olympics, right? And when they run the 100 yards, the 400 meters, whatever, he said that they had to get rid of all this heavy things, right? In order to run the race, you need to be very light so you can run easy, right? Imagine if these runners carry a backpack to run the 100 meter yard, that would be very, that's an encumbrance, right? So he said, we need to take away all the encumbrances in our life to run this race, the heavenly race, the Christian race, right? So it happens to us that we run in this race, right, to receive the reward of Christ, the crown of righteousness, with a lot of heavy stuff in our back, a lot of burdens. That's why it's very difficult to love the Lord appearing. We might love the Lord, but we don't love the Lord's appearing. Okay? So, but for this we need faith. Faith has to do with our conscience. If our conscience is not clean, it has a lot of things. I have resentment with my sister, with my brother, with my classmate, with my co-worker. I have some problem with my neighbor. So how can we increase it? How can the Lord can increase his faith in us? We have a lot of problems with ourselves. We might not commit sins, big sins like, you know, like David did or any other, but we need to clean our conscience to be able to run these ways and take any encumbrances in our life. You know, any heavyweight things. We need to be light. We need to take, you know, trust in the Lord that He can do it for us. You know? So we are having a foretaste right now of the kingdom, and we need to really enjoy Him every day, and in a subjective way, not only objective, right? In a subjective way that He is real, He lives in each of us. But that's why we need to pray, and we need to read His Word. See, many times when I ask people, do you read the Word today? When I asked some of my students, do you read the Bible today? He said, I pray. But do you read the Word? I read it maybe later, tomorrow. You see, everybody prays in the world. In Christianity, everybody prays. But the only way to grow is eating. If you don't eat in the morning, good, solid food, the Word with the Spirit, there's no way to grow that easy. We're going to love the Lord a little bit, you know, with ourselves. Because it's Christ, He needs to grow in us to love, to give His love to Him back again. So we need to pray that the Lord shine in us, enlighten us, to see this message that we are living right now. We're having a foretaste of the righteous kingdom. And to receive the crown of righteousness, we need to run and take all the encumbrances, all this heavy weight in us, and just trust Him. Amen.
Amen.
The Christian race is a very individual race. You look at day one, Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. He didn't say, we have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown. So it's a very individual race. And in Philippians day 3, it says here, you know, Apostle Paul again says, in Philippians is, you know, that, you know, and be found in Him. You know, I have given up all things. I count all things loss and count them as dung. It's all I, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith. And then in day six, the verse quoted is Matthew. In Matthew 25, you remember there were 10 virgins. You know, and these 10 virgins are 10 sisters, 10 brothers, 10 Christians. And there were 5 who were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 didn't have oil in their vessel, but 5 did. And if you look, read the footnote, it says, having oil in their vessels and the lamp, you know, the lamp is your spirit, but the vessel is your soul. The vessel, and it says in the footnote, the personality, our personality is in our soul. So we need more Christ in our soul.
Amen.
Spreading, making home, you know, deeply rooted, embroidered, like a Sister Virginia, embroidered permanently, irreversibly. Nothing can take it out. And then in day six, it says, it cites the verse in about the slave serving the Lord. You know, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the slave with the one talent buried it and was very, didn't do anything, just buried it. And the Lord said, evil and slothful slave. So saints, I know that the emphasis, I mean, the meetings, the brothers keep emphasizing teamwork, corporate race, corporate running. But Apostle Paul in his ministry and the Lord Jesus in Matthew, you know, you see through the gospel, very much the emphasis on the individual race. Amen.
This is a point that I think really actually I considered it for a while because like just throughout my Christian life considering like okay like I've been saved like I can prove it like with verses in the Bible to show that I'm saved so I'm saved and then it was like okay but then what and actually like I think my process for a while was kind of like realizing like it's hard in terms of like the mystery the meaning of our human life. And it was like, we see like God was always trying to lead us back to Him, right? To lead us to Him, to be saved. And I didn't realize this till I kind of just talked to more people, but a lot of people's thought actually stops there. They're like, okay, now I've been saved. Actually, I realized my thought for a time also stopped there. It was like, okay, yeah, I realized, okay, nothing, like, you know, all these things are vain, so I need to come to the Lord and be born again. And then it was like, okay, but now what? And then it was like, actually realized my life was actually in a sense still the same because all I thought was okay I've been saved so then that's it right because but then what would be the point of any of that and I actually really appreciated this verse that also confused me for a very long time it still kind of confused me sometimes but Matthew 22:14 in the it's in the material but for many are called but few are chosen and we've all been called we've all been saved. But it says few are chosen. And to me, this was a frustration in a way, because I was like, oh, that's not fair. Like, Lord, like, you called all of us, but then not all of us are going to be chosen. And I was like, Lord, that's not fair. Like, that's messed up. But I think I realized, just considering the principle in which the Lord always works in our it's just our cooperation. The Lord has purposely limited Himself. You know, I was really appreciating this in the table meeting. You know, we're praising how He came into under the tent of flesh. Like, this is an infinite being who somehow limited Himself to man. And this is the principle that He just operates in, right? He doesn't move without our cooperation. Actually, He's limited Himself to where He cannot move without our cooperation. And it sounds so crazy, but realizing, like, okay, so we've been called, we've been saved. So now, okay, so we've been clothed. We have the objective righteousness. We have this objective faith. But then I really appreciate seeing Paul in the Bible. He didn't stop there. Actually, he strove to always be found in Him. That he would never, and what does that mean? Like, whenever I would think, you know, whenever you ran into this guy, and, you know, he's just in Christ. Like, he didn't stay in one place for very long. He was always traveling. So, like, he's just going around, you run into him, you're like, hey, it's Paul, it's Apostle Paul, to him, it was a failure. If in that moment, he was not found in Christ. That every moment he interacted with you, he was just living this righteousness that was out of God, not out of himself. Because he tried that actually, and he did pretty good. But even he saw that wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. So he saw. So when you come to this guy, he's like, okay, like if in that moment he had his own righteousness, which was out of the law, then that was a failure. But actually, this was a brother who just strove to always not have his own righteousness, but only through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is out of God and based on faith. Amen. So I was considering, like, okay, this is a person who's cooperated with God. He's given himself, like, if, you know, sometimes he had his failures, but he always was striving. He was called. We're all called, but he didn't just stop there. Right, if the Lord gave him a vision and he just stopped there, okay, I've been called. The Lord gave me dynamics. I had a dynamic salvation. Now I can just live my life. We wouldn't even have the Bible. But this person cooperated, and so I was just considering, like, in our life, every moment we live, you know, is an opportunity for the Lord to embroider, you know, to stitch a little bit more. With the Lord Jesus, one of the days talked about the. Right, embroidering work of the Holy Spirit. You know, the transforming Spirit, right? Every situation we're living in, just our life, the Lord's trying to just embroider a little bit more, right? To stitch Himself into our character.
Amen.
And the moment we were able to, you know, continually just keep cooperating with Him, then more and more of Him gets stitched, more and more of Him gets embroidered. And this is how, practically, actually, we can also be found in Him. We can be found in Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, it's not easy because we're human and we'll fail, but, you know, we just continue. And this is something that Paul just continually lived his whole life. And so this is something that we also need to do. And as a result, this is how practically, you know, we can actually run this race. And that we actually can this is how actually practically the crown of righteousness isn't just some lofty thing that seems impossible for us to attain, but it's actually something that it's not something for us to attain, but just in our abiding in Him, allowing Him to stitch a little bit more of Himself into us, then we can actually practically have a way to reach the crown of righteousness.
Amen.
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 I was enjoying in Psalm 45, that 13, says the king's daughter is all glorious within the royal abode. Her garment is a woven work and wrought with gold. So she has a royal garment and wrought with gold, which represents, you know, our redemption, our salvation, you know, that we can be in the presence of God. But then in verse 14, it says she will be led to the king in embroidered clothing. And so, in order to be led to the king, we are led, okay, we enter with the gold, you know, uniform, but we are led to the king in embroidered clothing. So it is when we are fully, you know, well, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so the ones that have been embroidered completely, our character, our whole being, everything that we are through trials and sufferings, those are the ones that are coming back with the Lord to defeat the enemy. That is the wedding garment, right? And so today, no one can enter the wedding feast without the garment. We know of the parable of the, you know, the guy that sat there without a wedding garment, and he got kicked out, right? He got taken out. And so we can't be led to the king without that garment. And so, you know, today, you know, I like to listen, and you know, to this new song now to me is that, you know, our Lord, you know, is working behind the scenes, and that He is there. He is working in us all the time. You know, though the heavens are silent right now, have faith that He is working behind the scenes for what? To make us suitable to be presented before Him. Amen. And that doesn't come cheap. It comes with every single trial in our lives. Amen. To understand now, in my old age, that every situation is designed by God. It is ordered, actually. The word is ordered by God and arranged by the Spirit, that every situation. And so that we need to accept it and go before the Lord and humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt us in due time, right? And that this is a lifelong matter, to just love the Lord. Love the Lord all the time, like 1 Corinthians tells us, right? That, you know, loving Him, to be occupied in Him, so that everything in our being is for Him. That, you know, the Lord is working, but we need to know this. So many times we get upset at the environment, at the people, everybody around us. We blame the environment. But we, you know, look at the Lord, that, you know, that boss, you know, that class or that person is actually God. You know, when Jacob was wrestling, you know, he was wrestling with God, and he didn't even realize that. You know, and he kept fighting and fighting, and he says, I'm not going to let you go until you tell me who you are. And, you know, in all our environments, we're actually wrestling with God. You know, at one point, I was looking at this person, and I was angry with this person. And I was like, oh, you know, I was so mad. And then the Lord, you know, reminded me, that person is me. You know, I am that person. And I said, oh, Lord. That person is me. You know, I am that person. So you're hating me. You're angry with me. So, you know, I really, you know, had to go and repent before the Lord. I still haven't done all the clearance, but this Amen. Is how we are stitched Amen. In our daily Amen. Living, in our daily environment, through Amen. Everything around us.
Amen.
I just enjoy it. Actually, I don't know if I can say enjoy. I was soberly reminded with the verses in Philippians. Paul could say, right, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, therefore it was laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, right? Actually, I was touched with this word. It's not our righteous Father. It's not our righteous, righteous God. Actually, He's the righteous judge when it comes to this matter of the crown of righteousness. And so it's actually quite a sobering matter. And then the other point I was touched about, I think, as Sister Virginia shared, I'm not at all anyone who does artistic embroidering, so I don't know these details. But I was very touched with kind of this picture. You have the garment that is woven, right? Actually, weaving is you have two fabrics that are going together, right? But actually, embroidery is a very, very fine art. It is stitch by stitch. And I was impressed with this picture that actually the Lord needs to embroider himself into our being, stitch by stitch. So when you think of our being, actually we're really complex. Like, we have our likes, our dislikes, our person, our character, the way we talk with people, the way we react. Actually, the Lord wants to stitch himself into all of those things that are occurring in our daily living. And the other verse in Philippians, I was touched with this phrase. Paul said, to be found in him. And then I found a ministry portion that I was touched with that helped me understand kind of this message. It said, to live Christ is not merely to have a holy life or live holiness. To live Christ is to live a person. We should simply live Christ. We should live a life in which is Christ himself. In our Christian life, quite often we are still the ones living our natural life. We are not living Christ. To live Christ is to let him live from us. Every morning we should pray, Lord, I thank you for another day to practice living you. Lord, in myself, I cannot do this. I ask you to remind me to live you and grant me the grace that I need for this.
Amen.
Actually, Paul, because Paul was found in him and he lived him, therefore, actually, Christ had already been stitched into his entire being, right? And so for us, actually, we are practicing to live this one. But I just appreciate this simple prayer. Actually, we need the Lord's grace to do this. So anyway, may the Lord grant us his grace to cooperate with him.
Amen. I was wondering the turn. Objective and subjective righteousness, because it's easy to understand objective righteousness, right? As my brother mentioned, that when we were saved, we received the precious blood, and that's our objective righteousness. But subjective righteousness is when we live out this divine life within us, when we are found in Christ. That's our subjective righteousness, and this requires our experience and enjoy this eternal life within us. You know, a couple of days ago, Melody and I, we were discussing that when I grow old, what will I look like? And I probably just look like my father, right? Because she was like, oh, you probably will grow 20 more pounds. I was like, yeah, that's true. And because I have his life, right? And so we are son of God. We need to be found as the image of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Because we have his life. So I also noticed that, you know, in this book, the five messages, and every message talks about the eternal life. You know, in the first week we talk about to fight a good fight by laying hold on this eternal life. In the second week we run the race. It's because of this eternal life. And third week we keep the faith. Also by laying hold on this eternal life. And, you know, even brothers mentions like James 1:12. You know, we will receive the crown of life. You know, this is God's, it's on his heart. He wants us to receive this life, enjoy this life, experience this life. Eventually we express this life. This is righteousness, and this is his eternal economy. And I also impressed that, you know, the footnote here in this verse, he says that we receive the crown of life which he promised to those who love him, right? And the footnote under love says that to believe in the Lord is to receive this divine life for our salvation, but to love the Lord is to grow in the divine life for our maturity, that we may be qualified for this, the crown of life. You know, we often mention that we need to enjoy this life, but you know, this is, in Lord's recovery, it's kind of like an open book exam, right? We know under his ministry, Brother Lee also often mentioned that we need to enjoy this life, but how many of us really exercise it, practice it?
Amen.
took upon myself in the morning. I need bring the Lord's mercy and grace to enjoy this life in the beginning of the day. But praise the Lord, in John 6:63, it says that it is Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing.
Amen.
And the words which I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life.
Amen.
I love Brother Sergio's mention that we need to read the Word, because the Word is His life.
Amen.
So, brother and sister, we really need to lay hold on this eternal life.
Amen.
We run the race, and we look away unto Jesus to receive the crown of life that's calling us.
Amen.
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 I was very touched by brothers and sisters sharing. You know, among many subjects that I fail, embroidery is one of them. In middle school, we had to do it, and I still remember it was so hard. And of course, you know, my mom loved me, so she did it for me. That actually reminded me one thing today that I need to repent. I was not honest in my homework. But actually, you know, spiritually, the same thing. You know, this embroider, no one can do it for us. It's really, I was touched by, you know, brothers and sisters sharing that. Yes, you know, this is this is corporate, but this is also individual. And I was also very touched that, you know, we are lovers of different things. But actually, the way we want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit is really the dealing with our soul. So that, you know, we have a submissive soul, submissive character before the Lord. That really involves a lot of you know, dealing and prayers, and also fellowship with the Lord. So I feel that none of us, we can just come to the meetings without contact the Lord first. And I was also touched that actually that is for today, and that is for this age. So we don't want to wait until tomorrow. We don't want to wait until, you know, until the future. So I really feel that this is a reminder, and this is also, you know, a warning for us that we really want to deal with our soul life, and we want to turn to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This week is the last week of this morning revival, based on the this year's Chinese-speaking blending conference. I would like to use this opportunity to bring us all back to the main burden of this conference. I think all the speaking brothers, when they are sharing the message, they repeatedly to emphasize this. This conference actually continue last year's Chinese speaking conference burden. What is the burden? The burden is for us to prepare for the Lord's second coming. So I don't know. Do you love the Lord? I think we all love the Lord, right? And we all love the Lord's appearing. But how much we really love the Lord's appearing? I think more or less, we besides love His return, we more or less afraid of His return. Is that right? I'll go back to this. I do very, very much believe when the brothers, they are preparing for the burden or outline for all the comforts or trainings. They do pray and they do receive what is really in the Lord's heart. They are not just thinking, there's so much truth in the Lord's recovery. So we haven't shared about this truth for quite a long time. So now is the time to share this again. No. They seek before the Lord what is in the Lord's heart at this present time. So the reason in 2 years in a row, the burden is for us to prepare for His return. It must tell us the Lord in the Lord's heart, He is really want to come back. Amen. And if you look at the world situation, right, especially in the Middle East, in Europe,
Africa,
everywhere, I believe, the Lord revealed to us He's doing something for His return. But how the Lord can do that is based on church situation. If the church, the body of His body, prepare to some degree, then He can arrange the world situation to help Him to come back.
Amen.
So that means I do believe, in past few years, the bride have been prepared further, and so the Lord can make this situation to prepare for His return.
Amen.
And are we those who in the past few years we participate in this preparation? Maybe during the pandemic, a lot of saints, they really into this. They really love the Lord, love the Lord's appearing. So the Lord can do it right now. But the Lord still, use His ministry, continue to speak to us. He wants us, every one of us. He's calling every one of us. We need to be those love Him and love His appearing.
Amen.
So He can come back. So, but in His wisdom, and I think also in the principle or the law of His creation, as some sense shared earlier, He make us really love to receive reward, right? So He used this, our loving to receive reward, become an incentive. So for us to pursue this reward. The reward is the kingdom. Is His kingdom, and this reward is the crown of righteousness.
Amen.
In this, he used this to tell us, show us how we can, on one hand, individually we receive the reward, and corporately we hasten His return. And I believe not only the brothers, use this outline, this message, is trying to encourage us all to pursue this reward and to hasten His return. Even the Apostle Paul, I really touch what the verses in this conference. He, on one hand, he testified himself, right? He has fought a good fight, and he already finished the course, right? And he kept the faith. That's his testimony. But he also charged Timothy. He need to, take him as the pattern, right? And he not only speak to Timothy. I believe today he is still speaking to us. So he say, this crown of righteousness, right, is not only for him, but for who love His appearing.
Amen.
So Paul, I believe, I believe right now he is still so concerned with us, all of us, whether we are those follow his pattern. No, we love the Lord and love his appearing. And one verse this morning touched me a lot. We last week we didn't have a chance to share. Last week is about the Songs of Songs, right? And I touch one verse. I think we're all very familiar with this. Songs of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Draw me, we will run after you.
Amen.
The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you.
Amen.
We extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you."
Amen.
So we see two aspects, right? He draw me, and we run after you. So we have this individual aspect. No one can help us, or no one we can. How do you say that? Only we can love the Lord ourselves. No one will love the Lord for us, right? Mm-hmm. So that's very individual. We need to really have this prayer to the Lord. Draw me. But when he draw me, we will run after.
Amen.
Corporately, no. Individually, we need to love him. Corporately, we also will love him together. And what I was very touched is the very last sentence in this verse. Rightly do they love you. That means, you know, this female, this country girl, when she loved the Lord, she realized, wow, rightly do they love you. So when we really been drawn to the Lord, you have this loving